All right, back on the Young Turks election coverage. John Iderol is back. Anna's still with us. And Adrian has joined us. Great to have you back.
Thank you.
Wonderful to have you. And there's one race we wanted to update you on before we got to all the others, which is how we're doing. And we were trying to reach 1,000 people in one day, in 1,000 signups. We started day right a little past 34,000 members. Let's see how we're doing now at tyt.com/join.
Oh, so close.
Okay.
Close it out with at tyt.com/John.
Just take out the I for the A.
Am I beating you? Is there any chance that I'm beating you?
We'll get an update on how the internal competition between the hosts are going a little bit later. But seriously, thank you guys for everybody who signed up. And you at tyt.com/sponsor, if you want to get some bulk membership to give to others, it really, really helps the show. You support independent media and you get our message to other people. There's a toolkit for how you can distribute it. So it's don't worry about that, that is easy, okay? So tyt.com/sponsor for that. All right, John's got 1,000 updates.
Okay, let's start off, there's so many good ones. Okay, I want to talk about a few races. Oh, actually, this was just called in the last time since I updated it. So in New York's 19th congressional district, there is a Delgado Democrat who has now been called as the winner, flipping Fazio's district. So Delgado is an African-American candidate who is targeted with ads, making him out to be a big city rapper, is how they were targeting him.
Oh, that's right, and I remember this race. Yes. God, that's hilarious.
So thankfully, he not only won, but he flipped that district.
Yeah, I mean, like his qualifications were immaculate, and they're like, "Oh, big city rapper." I mean, it was so over the top. But you see that, like, at least in New York, it didn't work. Mm-hmm. In Florida, unfortunately, it did work, but in New York, it didn't work. So don't lose all hope.
I mean, we have white supremacists like running people over and murdering people, and going into synagogues and shooting people up, and like we're talking about rappers.
Yeah.
We're talking about rappers.
We're talking about rappers.
We're talking about rappers.
I mean, come on. Well,
yeah, effectively, in 1 week, you had a Trump supporter who mailed bombs to the media and Democrats. You had a racist who gunned down two African Americans in a parking lot at a Kroger. You had an anti-Semite who shot up a bunch of people in a synagogue. And you had a violent, misogynistic incel who killed multiple people in Tallahassee in a yoga studio. Virtually every brand of right-wing violence all happening in 1 week. There has been no hard analysis inside of the right wing, no second guessing in right wing media and how they frame issues. Donald Trump will learn absolutely nothing. The GOP will do nothing about it. It's open season from the right to us.
But by the way, look, I don't want you to lose track of the good news there. Not only did he win, he wasn't an incumbent. He flipped a seat from Republican to Democrat.
I've got more flips too, by the way.
Yes.
So Iowa's got some good news, got some bad news. So starting in the first district, Abby Finkenauer has taken over, that's the Democrat, has taken over Rod Blum's seat with a nice 6-point win. That is a flip in Iowa. In the second district, Dave Losbach has won re-election. That is a Democrat who previously had that district, so held on to it. In the third district, Cindy Axne has taken Republican David Young's seat.
Yes.
So that's two flips in Iowa. And Iowa District 4 is, in some ways, I would say, the most interesting one. Now, I have seen a couple of places that have called this, unfortunately. But we've only got 75% reporting in Steve King, the most openly white supremacist politician, I think, in elected office in America these days, is currently up 49.2 to J.D. Shulton's 48.3, a 0.9% margin, with 25% of the vote remaining to come in. It has already been called by multiple outlets, unfortunately. But if he was able to take that, it would not only be three flips in one state, but Democrats would have control of all of Iowa, which I believe also is electing a Democratic governor.
Yes, that's right. So look, guys, that's a lot of wins in the middle of the country. Remember, that's how Trump won the election, was is not just winning Ohio and Florida. It was winning the middle of the country, Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, etc. Now, heavy losses for the Republicans in the middle of the country. They lost Kansas. They lost the governorship in Kansas. And I'm looking forward to how it's going in Wisconsin for Scott Walker. He was losing. And now heavy losses in Congress in Iowa. So look, there was big name losses for the progressives, Gillum, Abrams, Beto, etc. But don't lose track of the fact that there's been a ton of wins across the country for the Democrats as well.
And it's interesting, and I love that you made that point, in part because it speaks to how regions of our nation are seeing white supremacy and also seeing oppression and minorities. And it seems that the Midwest is kind of taking that shift where they're just not down for it anymore. Mm-hmm. But the South, you know, they mm-hmm. cling to it, and it just, man, it brings back those days when I was a kid and it was the Civil War. It's just like, yeah. Gosh, is this part of the fabric of your culture that you are clinging onto and fighting so hard? And it's just the shift is, I don't know, the presence, it's upsetting, but at the same time, it's kind of beautiful to see that there is that fight there, but there is that pushback. And so hopefully in time.
Where'd you grow up, Adrian?
I'm California, baby. Northern California, born and raised.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man.
All right. Yeah, man. Yeah. And I just noticed your Twitter handle, which is very clever. So it's Adrian Lawrence is the name, but ended at law, that's the beginning, and yes. You're a lawyer. So Adrian
that is correct.
Law.
And okay. It also happens to be that Lawrence wouldn't fit all the way on there. So it just ended up working out very well.
All right. Can I go to Wisconsin? How we do a Scott Walker there?
Wisconsin,
have we
man,
ended
I'm
that
looking,
White Walker?
I am looking at so many. So we're not done with it, by the way. But as of right now, in Wisconsin, the gubernatorial race. So here's the point I want to make. We say this every time. Cenk and I covered every primary night this entire cycle. Like, people like to think that these races are mostly blowouts. I don't have to do anything. Doesn't matter if I vote. Doesn't matter if I organize. Doesn't matter if I make calls or drive people or whatever. Remember, racism won in Florida by 1 percentage point. Right now in Wisconsin, we've got 85% of the vote in. So this will diverge to some extent. But Tony Evers versus the incumbent Republican Scott Walker are currently tied 49-49, with Tony Evers having, well, you can see right there, just less than 2,000 votes. Out of 2.2 million separate them.
So what's the percentage there reporting?
I mean, you're seeing a 0.1% advantage, and that is a roundup itself, by the way.
Wow.
So reporting is 80, now it's up to 86%, actually. So we've got 14% left. Tony Evers with the narrowest of margins there against Scott Walker.
God, it'd be great if Walker lost.
It would
That'd
be great.
A heavy loss for them. But that's a tie right there. I mean, obviously, you have no idea who's going to win there. But a 0.1% lead is nothing. They got 14% reporting. Yeah. If they had 99% reporting, it'd be something. But at 86%, that's too small a lead. So you have no idea. Has McCaskill been called for definitively?
McCaskill was called. Yes.
So that's called. Man, the Democratic losses in the Senate are significant.
Yes.
Although in some of those cases, not surprising. McCaskill was always going to be difficult. She didn't do herself any favors, obviously.
But they all lost. They all lost. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it was
Tennessee, Indiana, and Missouri.
Yeah, and North Dakota.
And North Dakota, yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, Florida, has that been called?
In the Senate?
So Gillum was called, DeSantis won, Gillum lost. He did a concession speech. We have some of it that we might play for you guys in a little bit. But the Senate seat of Rick Scott versus Bill Nelson, last we checked, who had not been called.
Yeah, as of right now, it's not. And again, I mean, we're talking about less than 50,000 votes out of 8 million.
Wow.
99% reporting?
99% reporting, probably slightly more than that, yeah.
Okay, well, so he'll probably lose. So the Republicans, as one of the, when we came on at 6 p.m. Eastern, Ben and I ran through some scenarios, and I explained in the beginning, I said, look, I was a little optimistic on the Senate side, only because I thought maybe there'll be I thought that there probably would be a wave, but I said, I don't know if there'll be a hidden wave of, you know, more Democratic voters showing up than you see in the polls. I would argue that that largely did not materialize. What you got was about the polls, right? So Democrats were supposed to win a lot of seats according to the polls, and they have. But they did not get any surge in the Senate. But I said, you know, the Republicans could win up to as many as could pick up an extra 4 seats in the Senate if things go as bad as possible. And on the Senate side, they pretty much have gone as bad as possible. And a part of that, and I explain, that's why we do it in the beginning. So it's not just Monday morning quarterback. I explained the problem with this Senate was they ran a lot of lukewarm candidates who ran Republican light establishment campaigns. On the House side, is a mixed bag. It's a bunch of corporate Democrats, a bunch of progressive Democrats. And so it was just, we had more hope in the House because of that. And the Senate side, it turns out all their candidates were terrible, just as we I'm reminded of the famous Dennis Green speech. The Bears are who we thought they were. And it turns out the corporate Democrats are who we thought they were. We thought they were terrible candidates. It turns out they were terrible candidates, which leads me to Arizona.
Yeah, so that's what I was just looking at. We've got 23% reporting. As of right now, again, another super close race. So Sinema is currently down by 4,000 votes out of 1.3 million. This is an interesting one. So this race made news a couple of days ago because there's Angela Green, who is a third party candidate, a Green Party candidate, dropped out of the race and endorsed Kristen Sinema. The GOP has been sending out mailers trying to link Green to Bernie Sanders as ultra liberals that are too dangerous and playing up all these pictures as if she was still in the race and as if Bernie Sanders was endorsing her. Mm-hmm. And as of right now, even though she's not in the race, she endorsed Sinema. She's at 2% of the vote.
Yeah.
Now, Kristen Sinema's got some other problems of her own design.
Well, you know, if Kristen Sinema was an actual progressive, she probably would not have had a Green Party opponent.
Yeah. And this is in no way Angela Green is not in any way responsible for this. This is just another example of, and we're seeing this in many different forms around the country, the Republicans wanting to win, not on, you know, a positive platform or anything like that, but, you know, voter suppression, stripping people from the voter rolls, blocking people from voting because they're felons or whatever, all of this stuff. It's all tricks, basically.
Yes.
Man, I can't stand these corporate Democrats. Sinema's among the worst. That seat was so winnable, and she might still pull it out.
It's possible. I mean, we've only got
23%. She's botched it, like all of them. They all botched it. I'll run towards the Republicans. So, hey. Yeah, I know, there's a Republican in the race. They could just vote for that person. So anyway, I gotta ask about Nevada too, because that's the last one on the board. We haven't talked about it all night. Dean Heller versus Jackie Rosen. So that's a Republican incumbent, but Jackie Rosen could win that. I mean, Nevada, it went for Clinton. There's no reason to lose Nevada. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm gonna say that at this point, it's hard to say because we don't have any numbers.
Oh, and there's no numbers.
Okay. I would like to.
That's why we didn't go to it all night.
That's a good reason.
I wanted to just quickly bring up, this has nothing to do with an election result, but a dirty trick that Brian Kemp played. Now, mm-hmm. Brian Kemp, of course, is going against Stacey Abrams in the governor race in the state of Georgia. By the way, Georgia had decided to extend voting hours by an additional 3 hours because of a lawsuit by the NAACP. And so people were able to vote 3 hours longer than expected. But anyway, a story that had actually come out yesterday that I don't think we talked about involved Brian Kemp regurgitating a propaganda story that was published by Breitbart, arguing that Stacey Abrams has been endorsed by the Black Panthers.
Yes.
And they had this photo of black men holding weapons, right? Guns essentially. He's trying to make the point that they're too extreme, they're dangerous because they have their guns. What happened? I thought you believed in the Second Amendment. I thought you believed in the right to carry, the right to bear arms. All of a sudden, if it's black individuals holding these guns, they're too extreme, they're dangerous.
Yeah. So two things about that. And I love that you brought that up.
Yeah.
So number one, Breitbart lies on purpose. Mm-hmm. So anyone who quotes these right-wing websites, and it's not just Breitbart, Daily Caller does it all the time, Daily Wire does it all the time. They get into the White House press room, and it's not just Trump. Obama put Daily Caller in the White House briefing room. They're not legitimate. The whole point is to do propaganda, and they don't care if it's true or not true. That's an obvious lie. They printed it for political purposes. So we are progressives. We're open and honest about that, but we wouldn't ever lie about a Republican and make up a story, because that's not what we do, because we actually care about the truth. But those guys are not remotely attached to the truth. And what do Washington people, I don't know, he's to this side and that side, I can't tell. No, you can tell Breitbart lies on purpose. Well, and then the second part of it is, you're telling me the Black Panthers, oh my God, they have weapons. Anna is absolutely right. I guess shouldn't you be celebrating that? The Second Amendment, they're Second Amendment heroes. But remember, in that specific race, Brian Kemp pointed a shotgun at a kid in one of his ads.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Imagine if they had done a Stacey Abrams ad where she's pointing a shotgun at a kid. They would have been like, oh, Black Panthers, you're gonna kill the kid, what are you doing? And Brian Kemp's like, ha ha ha, he's a shotgun. And if you come for my daughter, I'm gonna kill you, or whatever. Like, it was supposed to be a little tongue in cheek, but bottom line is, he was heavily armed. And they're like, Second Amendment, that's it. You pointed at that little kid and blew his head off. Oh, black people have guns? Black Panthers!
All of a sudden, it's too extreme. It's too extreme.
Yeah, and besides which, it wasn't true. It was never true.
Yeah.
That always seems to be kind of the continual storyline, the thought that when black people have guns, there is a problem to it. And we see that when we have an individual who is black who gets shot or murdered by police, and it turned out that they had a gun and legitimate carry, and none of the NRA say anything.
No,
it's because there's
never, black gun owners.
No.
They never do. They never do.
Because it's just the fear mongering, and it's a race based fear mongering of black people are going to have guns. We can't have them have guns. They're already dangerous people.
And look, again, like we do all the time, we said it ahead of time, not Monday morning quarterback. So when Philando Castile was shot and he said, sir, to the police officer, I have a legal gun, it's in the glove compartment, etc. He did everything exactly the way that you should do as a legal gun owner. We said, I bet you the NRA does not go ballistic over this. Mm-hmm. We said they're not gonna pay a lot of attention to it, and they're not gonna go crazy over it as they would in any other case. Why? Because he's black. Now, if we're wrong, you'll see the NRA jump out and go, wait a minute, how could you do this to Philando Castile? That was a Second Amendment, you know, a hero, and he's carrying a gun. These police, I can't believe they would do that to good Americans that are exercising their constitutional right. No, nothing, nothing. We told you they wouldn't do it. Because, I mean, do you know why there's tight gun regulation in California? Ronald Reagan passed it. You know why Ronald Reagan passed it? Because the Black Panthers, that was real back then, said, realized, hey, we can have guns too. And it was actually legal to walk into the Capitol building in the state of California with weapons. So the Black Panthers walked in, they didn't do anything, and they told people ahead of time, hey, we're coming to make a political point. And they came in, they walked out, and people flipped out.
Yeah.
They're like, white people had been coming in with guns all the time, no problem. Black people walked into a Capitol building and they're like, that's a gun control, right away, gun control. And so here it is, they used fear mongering, ironically, with guns.
Yeah.
When it comes to black people, super scary, right? White people, they're awesome Americans. So look, that is unfortunately the racism built into the stereotypes that exist in this country and that are pervasive. And they don't get called out nearly enough. And that's what they did. And they do it every time. And they did it in Georgia and they did it in Florida.
Yeah, whatever it is that as a party they want to accomplish, and a lot of it has to do obviously with their donors, their campaigning only has one setting, and it's white identity politics. That
there
is
you go.
It.
Yep.
In every aspect, it doesn't matter if they're talking about aspects of the economy or crime or war or religion or immigration, it will always be delivered through the lens of white identity politics. That is it. Now we do have some updates. So Scott Walker is now up by 2,000 votes out of 2.3 million. Mm-hmm. So he's up by 0.1 with 11% of the votes still to come. I mean, that's a slight
irrelevant
variation from one to the other. It doesn't really matter.
So we just told you when Evers was up by 0.1, it didn't matter. Now Scott Walker's up by 0.1 and it doesn't matter. So they have way too many to go there for 0.1 to make a difference.
So two additional things. One, apparently Bill Nelson has conceded. That's what I'm reading on Twitter.
No.
So again, it was super close. You're talking about less than one percentage point. Obviously, incredibly significant. Not just now. I mean, obviously, like the Republicans have control of the Senate. They have it slightly more, having taken his seat. But we're gonna like try to regain it in 2 years. Every single seat matters when you're doing that. And so this is super significant. At the same time, and maybe we can talk about both of these. Right now, I believe it's already been called. You might have already mentioned it, but Dianne Feinstein is being called as the winner. But with 19% reporting, Kevin DeLeon's only down by 6 points.
I'm gonna keep it real. I'm shocked by that.
Yeah.
I really didn't. I thought that the gap would be much larger. Kevin DeLeon was not doing very well in the polling.
No. So look.
Now imagine if it wasn't Kevin DeLeon.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Exactly.
I mean,
that's the more disappointing part of that.
No, look. Throughout the night, I've told you when I was right and when I was wrong. Man, I was right about that race. I was terribly wrong and terribly right. So Allison Harrison was just a Democrat candidate. She obviously now leading the TYT Army. You got a bunch of great comments here that I'll get to about her in a second. I know how jazzed you guys are and you should be. I was wrong in that the state of California is too large and the media is too discriminatory against progressives that you couldn't make up the lack of name recognition and the lack of that she was not an establishment politician in enough time to win the primary. She got 100,000 votes. That's amazing. Yeah. Ocasio-Cortez got 25,000 votes. So now it's a district versus a giant state, apples and oranges. But 100, like there was 37 people that ran. Most of them, including people that spent way more money than her, got shellacked by her, right? She did amazing, but it's just not enough in too short a period of time. So that's what I was wrong about, okay? What I was right about is Dianne Feinstein was so vulnerable. Like if the media covered it at all and you had an aggressive candidate against her, she definitely would have lost. She was waiting to lose. She's just sitting there. It just like she was so conservative. They didn't want her. I told you in all the interactions that Allison's volunteers had and in the polling that they did, etc. All you had to do was just push her over with a feather. The minute you told people in California any of her votes, any of them, they're like, ooh, I don't like that. No. So De Leon could have won that race if he was far more aggressive or if the media gave a damn.
Yes.
Man, the media loves the establishment. They love them. So here, if you're gonna cry, if you're at the LA Times or anything else, San Francisco Chronicle, anything that covers California, did you really take anyone else seriously in the primaries? You just kept saying De Leon Feinstein, De Leon Feinstein. Mm-hmm. And you barely mentioned anyone else. Why? And you think, well, of course. I mean, they're not legitimate. Exactly what I'm saying. You love politicians. You love establishment politicians. Allison had more volunteers than all the rest of them combined. She had a bigger social media presence than the rest of them combined, including the sitting incumbent senator who you love so much, who you think is so wonderful and powerful. That's the way you cover her. You kiss her ass day in and day out. That's what you do if you're in the California press. It's just own it, okay?
Yep.
But so you got small and small dollar donors. You know, I know you're obsessed with money. Money, 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 money. Money's so important. Oh no, Cenk, that's not fair. These are hardworking reporters. They don't get paid that much money, but your editors tell you whoever has more money, put them at the very top and talk about that nonstop. But wait a minute. Allison had more small dollar donations than everybody else, I think combined, right? So how come you didn't, well, that's real people. That's a ton of real people who donated to her. Yeah, but it wasn't big corporations. So we're not gonna cover her. Okay, so, but that's long gone, that's in the primaries. Then you turn to the general election, and what do? Well, Feinstein's bigger than De Leon, and it's a Democrat versus a Democrat. I'm not gonna cover that race. Oh, Feinstein, she can't lose. She barely won. Yep. She barely won. And it wasn't even a race. You didn't cover it at all. How the hell is De Leon supposed to make up for it?
Yeah.
If you, given her overwhelming corrupt advantage. Yes, it's corruption, by the way. When you take money from corporations and rich people and you vote in there for the things that they want, including the wars that Feinstein voted for, including the tax cuts for the rich that she voted for, and I can go down the list, the drug companies that she represents. Yes, she is corrupt. But you'll never say it, right? Oh, no, that would be offensive.
I mean,
that would be offensive, even though it's super obvious and she votes with the way that her donors tell her to. But I can't say that. And oh, De Leon, it can't possibly be a race, so that you didn't cover it. And then it became a self-fulfilling prophecy.
We have a giant homeless issue and housing issue here in the state of California, where Dianne Feinstein is obviously a senator. And she has used her elected office over and over again to enrich herself and her husband, who's in the real estate industry, okay? So if local media completely dropped the ball on that story for decades, because they don't care.
They don't care.
They focus on all the things that shouldn't matter, the corporate backing, the corporate support, the corporate money, that's what matters to them.
And they don't even view that as a negative, they view it as a positive.
Yes, they do.
Ooh, Lockheed Martin really likes her. And she voted for a war where Lockheed Martin made a lot of money. I'm sure that's a coincidence.
Yeah.
No, it's not a coincidence, it's corruption defined.
Yep.
So, okay, look, last thing on this. That's why Anna's right, and I'm sure a lot of reporters are gonna look around. If they see this video, they're gonna be so mad because we're right, and they know we're right, okay? But they're gonna look, and they might even write some BS stories about like, oh, that turned out to be closer than expected. Maybe there was some momentum. Well, I guess we should, just like after Ocasio-Cortez won. They're like, oh, well, I guess we missed that one. Why do you miss it every time? Because you're not looking. That's why you miss it.
Yeah.
And I've been up since 4 a.m. I was an election official today, and so I talked to all these people coming in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just amazing, though, because the results there, they don't shock me based on what people were saying. Mm-hmm. And also just seeing the wave and the nature of the people that were coming through, very young and spirited. And even the elders, they just, all they wanted was change, and they wanted local change, yes, things to California. And they were intense about it. So I'm not shocked in terms of seeing those results. But, you know, it really does speak to the fact that people want something new. They're tired of this.
The only people who don't want anything new are the people who work in the press. Okay? Yeah. They love the status quo. They guard it jealously. They do. Hey, okay, you're still crying, by the way, if you're a reporter in California, still crying? Okay, tell me the one story you wrote about Dianne Feinstein and how she took donor money and then happened to vote in the same way that the donors asked her to. When did you write that story? You didn't write that story, did you? None of you wrote that story. But the reality is, it's corruption right out in the open. All those, do you think that Raytheon or Pfizer or Chevron gives a politician money for charity, for their health? Do you claim to be a reporter? Are you really that naive?
They don't know, Cenk.
They can't tell. They can't tell. So, Feinstein says she independently came to the same conclusion as Raytheon. She says that, and you don't even talk to the people who say the opposite. So you don't even say you don't even realize that a possibility exists. So you get, like, people wonder why we're tough on the media. Well, sad day for you. You do a terrible, terrible job. And so if you didn't write about Dianne Feinstein's obvious and brazen corruption, that's on you. That's not on us.
So a couple quick things in terms of results to what Anna was saying about the lack of action on homelessness. Thankfully, there are a couple of ballot initiatives in California. One, bond programs for housing programs and veterans home loans. Narrowly winning, but there's still a lot of the vote to come in. And another one that would authorize a millionaire's tax for bonds for homelessness prevention, which is winning by a bit more, thankfully. So those are both good things. There was a race that you were asking about earlier that now has actually been called, and that would be Jahana Hayes has defeated Manny Santos in the 5th District in Connecticut.
That's right, first black woman representing Congress in Connecticut.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
That's
in
my home state. And in Mass, yeah.
Yeah, so and it looks like they're going to elect a Republican governor, though. Connecticut's a complicated place. Yeah. I'm from Bridgeport, but there's a lot of really wealthy areas, and they love wealthy Republicans there.
Yeah. Look, at least I get that, right?
So. And in Bridgeport, we elect convicts, or former like mayors who went down for corruption and taking bribes, go to jail for 9 years, come back and become mayor again.
That's
so
insane.
The state's got a lot of issues, actually.
Second chances.
I'm not even joking. That's Mayor Ganim. He's our mayor now.
So Jahana Hayes, another person totally counted out by the media. I mean, do you know what kind of a mountain they have to climb to beat people with so much more money in those primaries when they get no media coverage? They get a total stonewall embargo on coverage. So they have no paid media, they have no free media. How in the world did Jahana Hayes win? How did she win that primary and then the general election? So these are world beaters. As we talked about earlier in the night, they happen to all be women of color. But those 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 women, Ocasio Cortez, Tlaib, Omar, Presley, Sharice Daniels, Deb Haaland, Jahana Hayes, okay? Some more progressive than the others, but overall, that is the Magnificent Seven, and they all overcame unbelievable odds to win. Because the media, it doesn't know it. They really, I'm not saying that they have bad intent. They're not, guy at the San Francisco Chronicle is not going, I hate progressives, I hate women of color. No, they're not doing that. But what they don't know is they hurt that cause, progressive causes, women, people of color, by dismissing them.
Yeah.
Dismissing them because they're in that group thing, they're in that bubble and they don't know. They're like, well, how could they win? They're not gonna, Jahana Hayes is not gonna win. I'm not gonna cover her. Ocasio Cortez against Crowley, the beloved Crowley, to take so much money from Wall Street. Young Latina woman, no. Now they don't say young Latina woman, I'm not gonna cover her. But in their mind, they think young Latina woman, not likely to win, okay, I'm not gonna cover her.
Someone with no experience in politics, you know, unknown candidate, that kind of stuff. So there's a lot going on when it comes to ballot initiatives. Do you want to quickly go through some of that?
I do. Just one other race that I really wanted to check in on, which is Jess King in Pennsylvania. We haven't checked in on that in a while.
That one I did. And we do have to go through Southern California as well. So I believe that that one has already been called, but let me update to make sure. It's Pennsylvania's 11th district. Unfortunately, Smucker did end up winning 59-41 against Jess King.
Oh, okay, then that wasn't that close. Okay, well, look, you give it your all, and you're a good candidate like Jess King, and you know the district's too red. Bless your heart, right? Was she outspent? Of course, right? Is that a part of it? Of course. But it is what it is. All you can do is run the best race you can.
Can we get a super fast good call? I don't think it's a surprise. Yeah, maybe you already mentioned it. No. Pramila Jayapal has won re-election with like 83% of the vote.
Oh, yeah,
no, she's an incumbent. No, that's wonderful. She's a wonderful progressive, but she's an incumbent. That's not surprising.
All right, okay. Let's talk
about
some
pot.
Okay, hold. I just got one more piece of news. Sorry, okay. Anna. TYT.com/join. Okay, can I see the new thermometer? 30. Wait That's a minute. Good. I thought we got past 1,000 members today. Oh, we did. We had more than 1,000 signups. But there's always attrition too and churn. So no, we got. Give me the when we get to 35,000. That's when we'll go. Bop, 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 bow. Okay, so keep it going at tyt.com/jenk. Okay, Anna, go ahead.
All right, so a number of ballot measures that John and I talked about briefly earlier today. Not briefly, we talked about it for a full hour. But I wanted to give you some of the results because some of the results have now come in. And these are the ballot initiatives that I was personally interested in. So in the state of Missouri, they have legalized medical marijuana.
Excellent.
Yes.
Everyone loves the reefer. All right.
Look, we win on issues. It's just when you get to the candidates, there's the media coverage that's a problem, and there's the money that's a problem. Mm-hmm. But on the issues, we're killing them.
Yes, exactly. All right. So another good piece of news coming out of Missouri. They have the voters have overwhelmingly voted in favor of gradually increasing the minimum wage in their state. So the state's minimum wage would increase in annual increments to $12 an hour in 2023. It's currently $7.85, just to give you a sense of how low wages are in the state of Missouri, minimum wages.
I want to give you a little bit of context. There's this city of St. Louis increased the minimum wage. The state of Missouri said, nah, we don't want to give it to you. So these guys, the conservatives of Missouri, who claimed that they care about local rule, all these years, we're just kidding, we're totally lying. That's our corporate friends don't want that. They don't want you to have better wages, so you won't. So they repealed the higher minimum wage in St. Louis. It was outrageous, absolutely outrageous. So they're like, all right, fine, we'll go to a ballot measure. And that was a compromise measure. I hope they make it stronger because it's they get to $12 by 2023.
I mean, when you consider inflation, it's gonna cancel out by then.
But nonetheless, it's a vast improvement of $7.85. And this is something corporate Democrats have trouble figuring out. Turns out people like higher wages. Wow, that politics is so complicated.
In fact, I have another example of people wanting higher wages. In the state of Arkansas, the voters have overwhelmingly voted in favor of increasing minimum wage there. So the state's minimum wage is going to increase to $11 an hour by 2021. Currently it's $8.50 an hour. So 68% of voters approve this ballot initiative.
People in Missouri and Arkansas, I mean, you just overwhelmingly put a Republican in the Senate. I got news for you. I guess the media didn't tell you and the Democrats didn't tell you. The Republicans don't want you to have higher wages, period. Period, they vote against minimum wages. The minimum wage ballot measures that you just overwhelmingly approved in both of those states, they vote against them every time, every time. Yeah. So if you like a higher minimum wage, don't ever vote for a Republican. In fact, sometimes what Republicans do is if they don't like ballot measures, it's like, ooh, my corporate donors don't like that. They sometimes repeal ballot measures. Mm-hmm. They did it in South Dakota, it's outrageous. And I would argue illegal, unconstitutional, et cetera. And they're like, yeah, on the other hand, my corporate donors don't want you to have higher wages. So you ought to have your head examined if you're voting for Republicans because they vote against your higher wages every time. Look into it. If you don't believe me, Google it, go do some research, see if a Republican in your neck of the woods ever voted for a higher minimum wage. I'll tell you, sight unseen, no matter where you are, the answer is no. They never voted for a higher minimum wage.
Some are against the concept of a minimum wage.
Yep. Well, because that's going to take away our ability to fearmonger. Because you know, it's all the immigrants and the brown people taking jobs. And so by you continuing to have lower wages, it's a way that they can continue to reinforce that whole narrative and keep you scared and broke.
And one final thing on that. It is amazing to me. I mean, there's a lot of ads that need to be made that don't get made. But Donald Trump twice on the debate stage said wages are too high, and the forgotten majority who's been left behind in the economy was like, I like that guy, the guy that thinks they get paid too much right now.
You just made such a good point, John, and that drove me nuts, because that was, he keeps handing Democrats great material, but they latch on to the things that actually make Trump popular, right?
Yes.
The identity politics, let it go, because the fact of the matter is, this country has a huge population of people who love what he has to say about race, unfortunately, what he has to say about the border wall, what he has to say about immigration. You have to let that go for campaigning purposes. You have to focus on the issues that impact every single American, regardless of their political affiliation. And that includes wages, that includes housing affordability, college affordability, quality public schools, those types of things. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Nebraska and how the voters feel about Medicaid expansion. So what happened? I thought that, you know, right wing absolutely hates government controlled healthcare, except no, they don't. So the majority of voters in Nebraska want to expand Medicaid, but so it has not been called yet, to be fair, but it looks promising. So far, it's 53.2% who say that they want to expand Medicaid. Right.
While at the same time electing a new Republican to the Senate and a new governor, Republican.
And those Republicans
who block them.
Who block Medicaid expansion.
It's amazing.
And so, but look, it's inarguably a failure of the media and a failure of the Democratic Party. Because the Republican Party is against these incredibly popular measures. You name any issue in the country, I can show you a poll where progressives have 60% of the country or more on their side. Almost any issue. And yet, people vote against Democrats and they vote for Republicans who are opposed to the things that they believe. Why? Because the media never told them the truth. They called it 50-50. And the Democrats are terrible at their jobs. So they don't get out there and tell people, hey, we're for you having higher wages. We're for you having better health care. And so they let the Republicans run roughshod over.
A couple quick things, just I don't think we're going to discuss too much, but I want to mention it. If you hadn't seen Utah's Senate race has been called, Mitt Romney's going to be back in the news.
Interesting.
He's joining the Senate.
Oh,
and
great.
As of right now, with only a third of the vote in, John Tester has a 3-point lead in his race against Matt Rosendale in Montana's Senate race.
By the way, what percentage reporting?
36%.
Okay, so that's still small, so he could still lose. But Tester's the only one that's got a shot and is leading. And Tester, you know, he votes in ways that I don't agree with, and he's, you know, nowhere near, you know, immaculate record, not at all. There's plenty of things he's a corporate dem on. But Tester's great on money and politics. He hates corruption. He purposely runs against corruption, and he runs as a populist. And look at that. That's the one guy in a red state doing well. Mm-hmm. Man, politics is so complicated. I just can't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. That was Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer talking.
Real quick, speaking of Nancy Pelosi, Trump called Nancy Pelosi tonight and congratulated her on the Democrats controlling the House again. Look, I am not a fan of Nancy Pelosi. We've made that clear on the show on numerous occasions. But considering how much Donald Trump and the Republicans despise Nancy Pelosi, I will enjoy seeing her behind Trump in political gatherings moving forward.
Yeah, the State of the Union.
Yeah, mostly because I know how much he hates her, right? Yeah. Like, I would prefer to have a real progressive there. But nonetheless, any opportunity to make him uncomfortable makes me happy.
I want to mention some of these weird ballot measures. There's one, you know, there's been a lot of bad news on race and how racism works in these elections. But as of, it looks like, no, it's been called. Colorado has finally removed slavery from their constitution.
Oh God!
It had previously been, except you can't enslave just anybody. But as a result of it's a punishment for a crime, you can enslave people. Yesterday, not tomorrow, hopefully.
Unbelievable!
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but they have. They did vote down changing from a flat tax to bracketed higher taxes. They voted that down. Okay. And also,
well, they voted it down, they so voted they kept the flat tax.
They kept the flat tax.
Oh, that's bad. And so that's a regressive form of taxation.
It is. And I just love this because it's so petty. So there was a ballot measure to reduce the assembly age minimum from 25 to 21. So if you want to be a state legislator, you can be 21 instead of 25. They voted it down. Screw you, youngsters. Huh. Get the hell out of here. Huh. You're not getting a state. First of all, it was going to be so difficult for them to win regardless at that young age. But let's not even let them try.
So, John, before we run out of time in this hour, which I can't believe we're running out of time in this hour, Edwin's like, told you. Okay, it's been almost 12 hours, and we're totally running out of time.
That's 12
okay,
hours.
Okay, so California races.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I've been wanting to get to those, actually. Okay, so let's zoom in here. There's some good news, there's some bad news.
So Gavin Newsom won. We knew that.
Yes.
Okay, Gavin Newsom had like 17 point lead. He was definitely and obviously going to win.
Yeah, not super surprising there.
So he'll be the new governor of California.
Exactly. And so starting off with the race in Southern California that I'm most interested in is the 50th district. With 36% of the vote reporting, Duncan Hunter is facing 60 indictments. That's not his vote count. It's just how many criminal charges are filed against him. But he is leading with 54% of the vote to Amar Campanajar's 46% of the vote.
Okay, that's close. And there's
it is
still
close.
Plenty to go, but obviously would rather have it be reversed.
Yes, yeah. And let's note that he not only is facing all of those charges and blamed his wife for them, he also ran possibly the only election ad that was more racist than Donald Trump's cop killer thing when he tried to make out Amar Campanajar, one of the most reasonable, qualified people for this race ever, make him out to be a terrorist who's a threat to the nation.
He called him a national security threat, even though Campanajar has worked at the White House and has received security clearance, which I believe Duncan Hunter Jr. just had revoked because of all the criminal indictments.
Yeah, Amar Campanajar worked in the Labor Department under Obama, and Duncan Hunter stole donor money to fly a rabbit to Washington, D.C., just to give you an idea of their relative qualifications.
But Republicans in that district for now are still like,
Yep.
Oh, you took my money to fly a rabbit across the country, and sometimes stole and my money and said that you did it for to give veterans money, but it wasn't true. You never gave the veterans anything. Yeah, but you're not a Democrat.
Yeah. This wasn't part of like a make a wish for a rabbit thing. No. It was not necessary.
Some people don't realize how racist areas of California are,
right?
And how much they enjoy, you know, oppressing certain groups and keeping the marginalized groups where they are. So people think we're all liberals out here and the Hollywood people. No, not at all.
California is a large state,
very much.
Yeah,
so.
And you're right. I mean, there are parts of California that are very different from Los Angeles, and there are little, you know, pockets even in Los Angeles that aren't as, you know, progressive as the right wing would make it out to be.
Yeah, I got a neighbor with a QAnon bumper sticker.
I know, it's terrifying.
Oh my God. Okay, so super fast a mention in Washington, Sarah Smith, who I know you've interviewed, when she was Daenerys Targaryen actually for Halloween, and she was on my show as well. She has unfortunately lost to the other Smith, the incumbent in that race.
Was it close or no?
I believe it was 70-30.
It was a difficult one.
Yeah. But if we could,
she was a great fighter. Bless her heart.
Yeah, she's awesome. And the 50th.
Adams, by the way, sorry, just to be clear, Adam Smith's also a Democrat, so that is not a flip. He was the incumbent.
Yeah.
In Washington and California, it can be two people of the same party in the general election. Sarah Smith did an amazing job to beat the Republican in the primary to get into the general election, but the incumbent had it.
It's a top two thing.
Yeah, he had a 20-1 money advantage.
Exactly, and that is why it was a little bit difficult to know exactly what was going on, since on all the summaries, it was Smith in blue beats Smith in blue. But unfortunately, it did go that way.
Can we just quickly go back to that photo? Because I wanted to make a point about how there's actually someone out there who has a smile more awkward than Jinx.
And by the way, Sarah Smith, a gamer, and we need more gamers in government.
Nice.
Unfortunately, not in that case. So in the 49th district in California, Levin is currently beating Harkey, the Republican, with 34% in a 6-point gap between them, 53 to 47.
That's not really that great of news.
It's not huge.
Yeah, so that's the one that in the beginning of the day, ISIS said, well, we were always gonna lose that seat. That wasn't even, that's his former seat. And that's why he's left the House, because he didn't wanna lose, which it looks like the Democrats will probably pick that up. But there was that was supposed to be a 96% chance that Levin wins. The fact that he's only up by 6 or 7 at this point, not that encouraging. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so which now makes me wonder about Ruta versus Rohrabacher.
Well,
okay. Okay.
So right now, with 28% of the vote in, Rohrabacher, the incumbent, who I don't know how popular these days he is in America, but in some other countries he seems pretty popular. Uh-huh. So he is actually losing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Give me a big number.
Well, the big number would be, is 50 a big number? What if you had two of them? What if it was 50-50 right now?
Oh, God.
Because Rohrabacher is down by 280 votes out of 106,000.
There you go.
So that's
tied. That's a big number.
So what is it, 28%?
It's effectively
reporting?
Tied, 28% reporting.
All right, tied with 28% reporting.
Yes.
So and, Rohrabacher could lose tonight. That would be wonderful.
Now, Devin Nunes in the 22nd district, only 13% in. Why would the different districts have even close to the same percentage reporting? What a ridiculous state we live in. Nunes is currently up 57 to 43 over Johns, is it pronounced? So the individual who found out that his polling place was changed on the day of. Jeez. As a nice representation of how ridiculous the voter problems are in this country.
Yeah, they're very special. I found out today.
Yeah, so 57-43 is 14-point lead, but it's only 19% reporting. So 13% reporting. So hold on that. That's not necessarily indicative. California's first district is a real long shot. Audrey Denny. If there was a big wave and we had gotten to California, then it wouldn't have been a long shot. And I'd be like, oh my God, Audrey Denny, she's a wonderful just Democrat. Does she have a chance? But since there is only a medium wave, very unlikely. So
Audrey Denny unfortunately lost 44 to 56, the incumbent Republican with 56.
See, if there was a giant wave, that you could make up that 12 points, but not on a night like this.
Do we have a couple of minutes just to mention a couple of the ballot measures in California?
Sure.
I got super invested in them. I know we've been talking about them a lot. So I did mention a few. The two housing ones did end up passing. The measure bonds for children's hospitals looks like it's going to win.
Awesome.
That is good. An attempt to repeal state gas tax and make it more difficult in the future to do those sorts of taxes is currently losing.
Yes.
Which is good, but it's close. 47-53.
Stop.
That was one that really bothered me. The change that would allow us to, in theory, change our daylight savings time practice is currently winning. Thank God. Let's just go crazy, okay? We're in the end times. Let's mix things up over here. Possibly the most disappointing one to me is, and I know it's controversial, and you could do this in a bunch of different ways, but there was an attempt to limit the profits of dialysis treatment centers.
Oh, no.
These places are horrendous, and I want to give a ton of credit to John Oliver, who did still the best analysis of that, like 2 or 3 years ago. Desperately needs to change. Doesn't look like it's going to happen this time around, because right now it's losing 38 to 62.
So I have personal experiences with that, because my mom had to undergo dialysis for nearly a year before she got a kidney transplant. And those centers are as bad as John Oliver had mentioned in his coverage of it. And so it sucks that it's not doing well, but you know, these companies have a lot of money and they funded the Vote No campaign very aggressively, and unfortunately it looks like they're gonna get what they want.
I think they might have raised $125 million.
Wow.
And you'll be shocked to find out the money came from the places that do the dialysis treatments. Weird how that works out. So the only one that I think is called is the somewhat controversial attempt to allow local governments to institute rent control. That has lost 35 to 65. And the farm animal standards to make a little bit less cruelty in how we treated the animals. Oh, thank you for bringing that up. Unfortunately, it did go down. I like the little X, although I don't like the result.
It's kind of a cute X for a bad result.
It's too cute. But hey, if you have a cute check, I mean, it's not called yet, but number 12, that's the farm animal standards, is currently leading 59 to 41.
That's
yes.
That's
so that is good.
You know why that's, you know why that's really good?
Animals are innocent.
Exactly, because animals are innocent.
Oh,
gotta say
so
it the right way, John.
That.
Okay, so believe it or not, whenever we're done, and I have no idea when we'll be done, we're also gonna do a post game because we go the extra mile for our members. And you guys are amazing, you make this possible. So, and one of the things that I wanna talk about is that Prop 10 that just lost. And so how Anna affected my vote.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so that's gonna be interesting.
We might have a little bit of disagreement, maybe.
Uh-oh.
I don't wanna talk about that.
There were a couple of controversial ballot measures. Yeah. I went to a ballot measure analysis party because I am a cool kid.
Yeah.
And
sounds like it.
We got together.
Had Capri Suns.
Wine. No Capri Suns. That sounds good though. And we just went through the little voter guide.
A ballot measure analysis party.
Wow.
Yes, and it was, thank God, because those are complicated. They're all written at a 12th to 15th grade level.
Here's what I have to say to that. To the king of the dorks! king of the dorks!
Well, I think I voted the right way. Thank you very much.
Okay, no, bless your heart. TYT.com/John for him caring so much about those measures and about politics. All right, guys, as usual, we're almost going to take a break here. This is the time where I got to remind you guys that you should go to a financial institution with a conscience. You know, we've been talking about having a conscience all night long in terms of the voting, but the people that helped us put this night together are an aspiration. If you move your money to them, they do not put it in fossil fuels or any of the dirty companies. You can have peace of mind with it, and you get the best rates, and you can set your fees to anything you want, including zero. So aspiration.com/TYT, they give 10% to charity. They're a wonderfully progressive financial institution. So if you're gonna have your money anywhere, and you have to, okay, it's a great place to put it. So I wanted to give them another shout out, and I wanted to give you guys another shout out. There was a bunch of comments, and Jonathan Batchelor wrote in on our members section. Nancy Pelosi is on CNN right now. The woman is horrible. She needs to step down. Okay, so that's the conversation we're going to have in a little bit about who should be Speaker of the House. Was this a win or a loss for the Democrats tonight overall and in the House? Meg wrote in about Allison. I might be in love with Allison Hartson. It's Meg who wrote that from the members section. The letter hack wrote in on Twitter. Ooh, I'm so glad to be part of the TYT army already. I can't wait for what comes next with Hartson at the helm. That's great to see. Chris Ward wrote in from the UK. 4 years a big fan, 3 months a member. Congrats to the snowflakes who have made TYT get even more support and coverage of the truth. Your passion and tenacity is inspirational. Thank you so much for keeping it real. And Abdul Rashid, also from the UK. TYT, just want to say massive congrats on getting new viewers tonight. Solidarity from the UK. That's both of the last two were on YouTube Super Chat. Now remember, we're really close to getting to 35,000 members tonight. And since we have TYT.com/sponsor as well, one of you guys can just buy 50 memberships and then give it away to folks. And that way you help the show. And you help spread the message, and it's really easy. There's a whole toolkit on how to give it away, or you just do it any way you like, right? Let's see when we come back whether we pass that threshold. And then we have an important racist and analysis of the racist.
I got a bunch of governors racists to call when we get back.
Oh, that's super important. We'll be right back. Animals are innocent.